not our differences. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and film. If any member of the press are present, please come to the registration table, where you will be referred to our public information chairperson. We respectfully ask that no pictures be taken during the unity retreat by the press. If any NA member are approached by the press, please refer them to the registration table. Remember, no one person represents NA. Please do not attempt to represent NA to the press alone. Thank you. Will you please help me open this meeting with a moment of silence for the addicts that are still suffering in and outside of these rooms, followed by the we version of the Serenity Prayer? God, grant us the serenity to accept the things we cannot change, the courage to change the things we can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Amen.
Thank you. Can we please have the reading, We Do Recover?
You're doing great.
I'm Tim and I'm an addict.
Hi, Tim.
We do recover. When at the end of the road, we find that we can no longer function as a human being, either with or without drugs. We all face the same dilemma. What is there left to do? There seems to be this alternative. Either go on as best we can to the bitter ends, jails, institutions, or death, or find a new way to live. In years gone by, very few addicts had this last choice. Those who are addicted today are more fortunate. For the first time in man's entire history, a simple way has been proven itself in the lives of many addicts. It is available to us all. This is a simple, spiritual, not religious program known as Narcotics Anonymous.
Thank you, Tim. And at this moment, I would like to introduce our first speaker, James G. from It Works Group of NA of Narcotics Anonymous in the Pittsburgh area.
Welcome, James.
I'm Brother Madden and Jerry.
Hi, James.
I don't know where this is going to go, but can we open it with a moment of silence? Follow my sweet prayer, son, get out of the way of my God, just up here, please.
Grant us
to accept the things we cannot change,
courage to change the things we can,
and the wisdom to know the difference.
Like I said, I don't know where this is going to go. This is the second time I spoke on this topic in 2 months. I just spoke on that Butler Spiritual Retreat. And then I called my sponsor, I said, what's this all about? You know what I mean? I said, I'm on step one, so what is this all about? He said, maybe the reservations you've had of putting people on this list before, God preparing you to do it the right way this time. You know what I mean? And I can understand that because, see, my clean day is 10/3/94. And you ask any of the guys that I hang with, especially my man Robin, and he'll tell you, I got issues like tissues. You know what I mean? They come one by one. You know, and for the longest time, I argue back and forth with my sponsor, I argue back and forth with my we, of why certain people shouldn't be on my list. You know what I mean? And it was mainly because I was looking at everything they were doing to me. And my sponsor said, it ain't about them, it's about you. It's about you getting better with you. He said, the most important thing you need to remember, he said, put your name on top. Well, when I first did it, I did the list, I gave it to him, and he looked it over, he said, I don't want that check. I'm like, he said, it ain't done. I'm like, what do you mean it ain't done? I said, you said, put people on the list, it's a list. He said, you're not done. So he let me ponder on it for like a month, and he said, did you finish it? And I said, yeah, I got it. I gave it to him, he said, it still ain't done. So I went to meetings, and I started bringing it up, and people started saying, like how it's important to put yourself on the top of that list because you hurt yourself the most. You know, so once I put myself on the list and I gave it back to him, he said, all right, now we're ready to move on. But what I need to let you know is, like, I still fought with me not feeling that certain people shouldn't be on this list. You know, even though I knew I did people harm, even though I knew I disrespected people, and that I hurt my oldest kid's mom physically, mentally, and spiritually. You know what I mean? I pretty much, I broke this woman down to nothing. And then when I seen her going through the pain she was going through, I laughed like it was a joke. You know what I mean? Because at that time I thought, look, I'm the drug dealer, you're the addict. You need me more than I need you. But needless to say, 3 months later, I was in that same position she was in. Spiritually, mentally, and physically bankrupt. Homeless. And not understanding, okay, how did I go from being a so-called drug dealer to now I'm an addict, like the people that I thought I was serving, you know what I mean, were worse off than I ever would be. You know, needless to say, I didn't go to rehab right away. I went to an outpatient facility, and I was sitting in this outpatient facility, and it was a 16-week program. We went 6 days a week. And when we left on Saturday, after being there from 9 until Saturday, they gave us this pill called Anabuse. So they said, you guys, y'all ain't just doing drugs, you're drinking, so you need to take this pill. And we'll know, if you come back and say you were sick on Monday, we'll know. But we're at it. Now, you didn't tell us what it's going to do. We ain't taking that shit. You know what I mean? But through my whole process of understanding, I really give my first sponsor, who I call my mom, like, all the credit, because she was like right there in my corner. She stood by me. She encouraged me. Even though she told me, like, look, you can't stay in my house, but I'm going to do the best I can for you. I'll let you come in my house and take a charge of you. That was the hardest pain I ever went through, of not being able to be in my mom's house because of my damage that I've done. So I had to make sure she was on that list. You know what I mean? And I continue to make amends through her over the years. And it really came into play to where I was able to make amends to my mother. And she called me one day and she says, I'm done. I don't want to drink no more. You know what I mean? I just want to come and stay with you for a weekend. I said, sure. And she came, and that weekend turned into like 7 years. And I was joking with her one day, and I said, Mom, you said you're coming for a weekend. You've been here 7 years. She like snapped. Oh, Chief, I can think I can't pay for my own way. I don't need you. I said, I'm just playing. She said, well, play lottery. You got a better chance of winning than paying. You know, and I continue to make my mentor because she passed away. And I need to let you know, like, in my process of making this list, it wasn't just my sponsor who was guiding me on a proper way of making the list. It was the We of the Fellowship. Because people were pointing things out and telling me, like, when I was sharing stuff with me, they were like, you think that person needs to be on your list? You know what I mean? Or do you think you need to go make an amends to this person? If you do, you need to put them on that list anyway. You know, so when I made this list, I felt better when my sponsor said, okay, it's time to move on. But deep inside, I felt that I was missing something. You know what I mean? And what I came to understand is that what I was missing was making an internal amends to myself for what I'd done to my body over the years. You know, and I'm still dealing with that today. Like, I'm finally able to go inside and see that little boy who was struggling, or that little boy who was lost, and now recovery's helping me make that little boy into a man. You know, but I made the list. I stopped fighting, and when I moved on to step nine, because step nine says we make direct interest to people where we're possibly able to do so, either them or others. A lot of people have felt the trouble. They said, others is you. So if you go to make this amends, and it's not healthy for you, even though the opportune time might be there for you to make amends to somebody, if it's going to hurt you, don't make that amends. You know what I mean? Pray about it and wait for a better time. And what I learned from that is, I knew I wanted to make this amends to my daughter's mom. And the time came when my daughter called me, and she says, she said, Dad, I know you don't want to hear, but I had another baby. And I want to start being a part of your life, and I want you to be a part of my baby, my kids again. And when I went to her house, her mom was there. And it's just like a light went on. It's like, all right, it's time to do this. You know what I mean? So they went outside, and I was sitting and talking to her, and I looked at her, and I said, hey, I need to make amends to you for the way I hurt you. I need to make amends to the way I destroyed your life. And she said, thank you. All I ever wanted for you is to just tell you it's all. You know what I mean? And I sat there and looked at her, and I started crying. And she said, wow. Recovery's really done something for you. You do have feelings. I said, they were feelings that were subsided by my self-will and my self-centeredness to do what I wanted to do. So I didn't realize there was any feelings. I made this amends to her. I gave her a hug. And her boyfriend comes in the house. He said, hey, what's going on? I said, look, I need to make an amends to her. Now is the right time. I made the amends. And that's that. You know, and he said, what are you talking about? And I thanked him. And he had no clue what I was talking about recovery. You know what I mean? So he accepted it. Spent time with my grandkids and my wife. And in the car on the way home with my wife, I'm asking my wife, did you feel some kind of way about me making this amends to her? She said, no, because that's not between me and you. That's between you and God. If God presents that moment to you that you need to make that amends, then that's what you need to make it. But you got to be able to open up and hear him telling you it's time to make that amends. You know, and I proceeded down the list, and I went to my kids, and I told my kids, like, you never seen me high. You never seen me ripping and running, robbing, stealing. You know what I mean? You never seen a part of me, but I need to make an amends to you because your father hasn't always been the best father. You know, I continued, like, one of my kids at a time of making amends to him. And I have six natural kids. And then I have a daughter that my wife had when we got together that I raised from the time she was one to she's mine. You know what I mean? I everybody be like, is that your daughter? Yes, that's my daughter. Is that your dad? Yeah, that's my dad. You know what I mean? And I set her down because that was the hard part of her finding out that I wasn't her real dad and wondering why I was doing what I did. And I told her, I said, the bottom line, some people can face the responsibilities of dealing with them head on, and some people don't know how to face the responsibilities and they run. I said, but part of me being with your mother is accepting you 100% as well. I'm not going to be with your mom and do for my kids who are around you and shy you away like you're a stranger. You know, and it's funny because me and her have a closer relationship than me and my son, who's my natural son, you know what I mean? Me and her, we call each other on our shit. And if we say something ignorant, we wait a while and we call each other back and say, hey, this is why I said this, and this is why I feel this way. And we start to talk things out. But this whole eighth and ninth step thing is a process for me, not only to understand that, like, making a list and making amends is one thing. Like, I could put Megan on my list and go to Megan and make an amends. But in the back of my head, if I'm contemplating a way to still hurt Megan, or I wasn't sincere, then I'm not making an honest amend. You know what I mean? And what I really learned from it is, like, I could forgive somebody, especially myself. And if I say I forgive you, then I damn well better not throw that back in your face later. You know what I mean? And that's the hard part for me, of forgiving myself. But still, hearing that other voice in my head, who's talking to me in my own voice, still telling me, like, you're worthless. You're never going to knock them out. My kids ask me, how come you never give us no advice on what we should do in life? And I said, look, I'll tell you one thing. Be better than I am when you get my age. Don't be like me, be better than me. You know? And then I can't complain, they're all doing pretty good. I remember a little over a year ago, I called Rob crying. He said, yo, dude, what's wrong? I said, Rob, I'm crying, I got cancer. He said, wait. What are you talking about? And I told him. He said, bro, there's treatments for that type of cancer. You know, I felt like irregularities, like my body wasn't doing the same. I was going to the bathroom. Like, people normally go to the bathroom early morning when you wake up. And some people go a lot. Well, like 5 minutes later, I was going again. You know what I mean? Like 3 minutes later, I was going again. So when I went to the doctor, they did all this blood work. And they called me back and they said, your PSA numbers are high. And I said, okay, like, what are you talking about? And he went in to start saying, no, prosthetic has the gems. And I said, look, stop. I'm like, what the hell are you saying? You got to talk to me here. Talk to my wife. She understands that medical stuff I know. And I called Rob. And he's like, oh, yeah, your evidence. I'm like, the fuck he not? You know what I mean? But When they explained it to me, like he said, the normal range is anything below 7. Well, when I got my first reading, mine was 8.6. And the doctor at the time said, it's not bad, but it's high. We're gonna wait 3 months, do more blood work and see where you're at. Well, this was in June or July of 20. I went back in October of 20, and my numbers went up to 12.6. And the doctor at that time, he said, look, I don't care what this doctor said. He said, we're scheduling a biopsy. We'll do the biopsy. And they did the biopsy January 6th of 21. And January 8th of 21, I got the results. And I looked at it, and I told my wife, I said, everything's cool, it don't say cancer. And she said, what you say? I said, it says carcinoma. And I looked at it, and she starts crying. I'm like, why are you crying? She said, those are cancer. I said, honey. And I just knew. Like, I said, I'm gonna die anyway. So fuck it, if I get high, I'm gonna get high. I don't give a fuck anymore. Like, God's punishing me for all the things I've done over the years. He don't care. He's not a caring God. He's a punishing God. And I can't tell you how many people I called to recovery and said that to, and they hung up the phone. You know what I mean? And when I did talk to them again, they told me, you're not going to get high. You're going to take your ass to a meeting. And you're going to continue to work your program to the best of your ability. As long as you're doing your part, we're going to do our part to support you. So I know when it comes back around, if you do this step again, I'm going to have to put them people on this next list. You know what I mean? I'm going to have to make amends to those people that like stood there for me when I couldn't stand there for myself. You know what I mean? The biggest supporters I had through this whole process was Rob, my wife, and my kids. You know what I mean? Because I didn't want to come around you guys. You know what I mean? I didn't want you guys to know that I had some time cleaning them out. I was contemplating using, you know what I mean, with my wannabe good sharing ass. You know what I mean? With my wannabe good doing service work ass. I didn't want you guys to know I was going through some pain, and James didn't know how to deal with that pain. You know, well, like 17 months later, you know, when I was told I was in remission, I was like happy, you know what I mean? And I say like, no, like 13 months after I went into remission, my son gives me a call, and he says, and not support some decisions you made, whether I can make that decision for you or not. He said, Dad, I don't want to hear that shit. Can you just shut up and listen? And I said, what? He said, Dad, I got to go to the hospital and tell my ass. And like my whole world just shut down again because I started thinking again about punishing me. So he didn't get through me. So now he's going through my kids to get through me.
And it's funny because the first thing my son said to me, he said, now I told you, don't go do that God blaming stuff because we got a caring God and a healing God who's powerful.
That's right.
We're going to beat this, Dad. He said, but you just got to show me how to be the man that you are when you went through it. I said, I didn't do it. I said, the rules are not called synonymous, and the God that I choose to call my higher power is who got me through it. I said, because there was days when I didn't want to leave the house. You know what I mean? Because I didn't want to deal with it if somebody asked me how I was feeling. You know, and me and him, we built a strong relationship. 3 weeks ago, he finished his last chemo treatment. And we got into an argument, so we ain't talked in a week. But he told my wife, he said, tell my dad. I don't want to talk to him right now, but I go Tuesday to get my pap smear, to see where it's at, and I want him to be there. All I really want to do through this process of working my 8th and 9th step as it comes up, and I'm saying about it now, is not to hurt the same people I've hurt and not to hurt other people. You know what I mean? And it's real painful because for so many years, I've hid behind service work. You know what I mean? I'm coming up with 28 years clean, God willing. But out of the 28 years, or 27 years that I have been clean, 24 of it has been all service work. And I took 3 years off to take care of my wife
who have been diagnosed with mycorrhizal fasciitis. And it's a flesh-eating disease that is either suffered inside or laid out. And it gave me the opportune time to make further amends to her. And I made the amends by just taking care of her and not asking for nothing in return. And my sponsor said, damn, a light came. You're finally doing something and not expecting nothing back. You know what I mean? He said, that's the biggest gift you can get for this program. Is do what you need to do and don't expect nobody to give you nothing. I don't know, I'm no different than nobody else. You know, I go through trials and tribulations. I have my faults. I have my good days, I have my bad days. But the one thing I can honestly say is I try my best. About 85% of the time I can lay down at night and know that I have not hurt nobody that day. Know that I have not caused anybody no harm that day. And one thing that I do today to like get back to downgrading others that are in disease and addiction is I work at a methadone clinic and I'm a certified recovery specialist. So I see the disease firsthand on a daily basis. And that's why we're giving back. It can help with those that I downgraded or, you know what I mean, that I put down over the years that I thought I was above. For one reason or the other, I tell people that, like my recoveries, I no longer look at my recovery as a destination. My recovery is a journey. And it's a journey that I choose to be on for the rest of my life, one day at a time. And even with some time, sometimes I bring it up to like a half a day at a time. Sometimes it's an hour at a time. You know what I mean? I can't always feel that because I did work in a certain area that I'm done. I no longer need to look at that. Because each time I review something, like, I'm sure we all went through, we might read the basic text or It Works How and Why and see something and read it again and be like, what was that when I read it the last time? Something always stands out to me. And, I'm starting to ramble. You know, I want to thank everybody who sat here and listened to my message. That if I was able to just touch one person, I did a good job.
That's right.
And I can't wait to hear from our friend Nathan. So I want to thank y'all. I love you guys.
We love you, Tony.
Dude, you're strong as fuck. I don't know if I can go through it, bro. Thank you. Strong as hell.
Proud of you, James. Proud
we'd
of
like
you.
To like we would like to thank James for his strength here now in Hope. Now I want to introduce our second speaker for the day would be Megan A. from Spiritually Lit, out of the Pittsburgh area.
Hey, girl. Hey, thank you. Hi, Courtney. Hi, guys. I'm an addict named Megan.
Hi, Megan.
James did a fantastic job. If nothing else, I'm the person. I got it. Thank you. Thank you so much. He's such a kind and generous-hearted, loving person. He was supposed to speak after me, and I was so in my head and consumed with, I was like, oh, I better say this, and I better say that. And oh, you know, certainly this is another something that I should say, right? And like, it was just ridiculous. I was just swimming in my head. And I was like, oh my God, stop it, right? Stop it. And I asked James, I said, James, can you go so I can hear like something clear that I needed to hear to clear myself, get me out of me, you know, and out of like my feelings of like, I'm obligated to like, you know, share something so profound and meaningful that, you know what I mean, like the ground will start rumbling and, you know what I mean, like Gabriel will come down and sound his trumpets and we will all be healed and go forth forevermore, you know. So you helped me with that so much, so thank you for your graciousness and your kindness. And it was like literally like the first line, like the first thing that James said was like, I got to put me on that list, you know, like I go up top. And, you know, being a person in recovery who's made like every freaking mistake in recovery that there is to make, you know, like I have been on that last or at the end of my list for years. And like up until this day, you know, and I've heard it, and the sponsors have said it to me, and I've read it, and I've been at meetings, and you've shared with me over and over and over again how I belong on that list, and how I belong actually at the top, like I should start with me, but I know better. You know what I mean? I know better. And so I'm just going to put myself at the end. You know what I mean? That's good for all of you. Right? But somehow, like, I'm just like, maybe like a twinge more unworthy than any of you. You know? So I go at the end. And that's been my experience. So my clean date is 9/4/13. So in a few days, actually, I'll celebrate 9 years clean. God willing, if the creek doesn't rise and if I, you know, use this program one day at a time for the next few days, it's going to happen. And so I've had the opportunity, and relapse, you guys know, is a part of my story. So previous to this 9 years, you know, I've had other periods of clean time. So I've done a few steps eight and a few step nines in my lifetime. And the early steps eights and step nines that I've done had a real, I don't know what the word is, like tangible quality to them. The people that I put on my list and the amends that I made, it's so important and needed to be made, laid the foundation for like my life of service, were things that were very tangible. Like I stole money and I had to pay that back. You know what I mean? Like hurts, like I said something awful to you and I hurt your feelings, but like a very real kind of a, you know, hurt that it was evident, very evident, like, you know, and, you know, and I needed to apologize for that. Like institutions, Duquesne University, owe huge amends to the venerable institution of Duquesne University, you know? So, and I made those lists and I made the amends and a lot of freedom, like seriously, like really, really good work. Glad that I did that, you know. A real good results came as a result of that for the people that I had harmed and for me. It's a reciprocal thing, and you know. So years go on, and then the next list that I made, the amends that I made at that time took a more like. These were the amends that I made that just weren't always so evident and glaring. The ones that aren't like, can't be like just named and labeled and seen. Did a lot of soul searching and took journeys deep inside, hand in hand with my sponsor and with guides who love me and care about me so much to go on those journeys with me. And so the list that came about as a result of there were like hurts that I had done to my family and people that I loved so much that like, you know, maybe things like growing up, you know, like love and attention were real scarce in my home. Real scarcity for love and attention for the children in my home, right? So might have harmed the other kids in my house because I had to get mine. I had to get my needs met, right? So those kinds of amends, the amends of like where I like would examine my relationships with other people and see that it was a very manipulative one and I had manipulated somebody for years for my own emotional benefit to get what I needed, you know? So those are the kind of amends that were on kind of like the middle list in the middle recovery, you know? And here I am now, and don't you freaking know that probably about a year and a half ago, I made a new list. And like I'm on the list, finally. And I'm not saying that other people don't belong on that list, right? But to tell you the truth, the list really has one name on it, and it's mine. And I'm at a standstill right now. Like, I'm really kind of at a standstill. I told you that was like a year and a half ago. And I have yet to get to nine. I've been sitting on it. I don't know if you've had experience just sitting on steps for months and months and months, years. I know I have. It's me, you know. But like here I am, you know what I mean, sitting on it and having a really, really, really hard time making amends to myself and then finding the forgiveness for myself and that reciprocal relationship with myself. I'm literally like blocked up, not able to go forward. And like, how beautiful. Like, James opened up with that. I said, give me a message, James. Like, help me. And like, that's what we do for each other. We help each other, right? Unbeknownst to him, he doesn't even know, you know? And like, you know, something he says touched me in such a profound way, you know? So yeah. That's just been kind of like my experience with like different, the different, like the process of like making lists and making amends. Something I came to find out is that it was really, really important. How about this? I've heard people say, just make the list, just make the list. Just write down the names. Okay, yeah, just write down the names. But for me, I had to do a little bit more, right? So with writing the names comes a naming and the owning of the transgression. Right, so it's more than just a name. Like this is the person that I owe this amends to, and this is the reason why. Right, and to fully own it, like absorb it into me. Like I did that, I did it. Not because I'm an addict, not because of childhood trauma, not because you know what I mean. I was really stressed out at the time. Not because that person hurt me so irrevocably that the scar is like, you know, feels like it'll rip apart at any given moment. You know, like all of those excuses, like take those and just throw them out the window, but fully own it. I did it. So that's what part of like making the list is for me. You know, it's like, it in a way, like, you know, like the basic text is just like really simple about it. I love the basic text, it's just so simple. You know, I mean, I just need to like, I get real heavy and lofty and big-headed with my thoughts sometimes, and I'm such a deep thinker, and it fucks me up so bad sometimes. And a lot of times I just need to just like you know, pull at the basic text, you know, but to help ground me and bring me back to like, oh, it really is that simple, you know. So, you know, there's a whole lot of talk about just like making the list, but for me and in my sponsorship family, the way we do things, like I said, is to really own that, to own that transgression, that sin, that wrong, whatever language it is, you know, that is pertinent or needed at the time. Hi, Ian.
Hi.
So like owning it, I gotta own it. And in the owning of it, in the sitting of it, in the like absorption of it, like this is who I am, this is me, like step seven is brilliant because it prepares me for this. It prepares me, like I have become so in touch with the humility and my humanness in step seven that it makes step eight, like for me and my process, it made it possible, right? I had developed some kind of compassion for myself, right? That I was able to face the fact that I, Megan Ayers, a really good-hearted, decent person, had done such reprehensible things. So I was able to have a little bit of compassion for myself, and I needed seven to do that, right? I needed that humble relationship with my higher power. But I know I'm not here talking about seven, but I had, yeah. For me, that's my process. Had to be there. Becoming willing, it was like sitting with this and owning it. And like, you know, it says like, in the literature, and like It Works How and Why, it talks a lot about how approaching these steps with humility, you know, like I'm human, and when I am in touch with my humility, it allows me to be in touch with the compassion that is needed for me, you know, that I need to give to myself. So as far as making the amends, I came to find out through a lot of mistakes that you know, an apology, an amends, is more than just an I'm sorry. There are three parts to an amends. That's what I was taught. And the first part, step one, is I hurt you by blank, right? I address the person and I own the crime. Like when I made the list, when I go to make my amends to the person, I have to say it to their face. I did this to you. I did it to you, right? Without the excuse. I did this to you because you're such an asshole. You hurt me when we were married, blah, 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 blah. No, right? I hurt you. I hurt you because, you know, my dad beat me when I was a kid. No, I hurt you. There's a period at the end of that, right? So that's the first part of the apology. The second part is it was my fault. That's step two, and that's part of like throwing away those excuses. When I make an amends to somebody, there is no place for an explanation. None. Absolutely zero. If I give any kind of an explanation or a backstory as to why I engaged in this hurt or this transgression, at that point, in my experience, it becomes self-serving. I'm doing it for me. I need to be alleviated of you know, some kind of guilt or whatever. But for me, an amends is, this is about you. I want to make this right. I want to help you heal, and whatever that looks like. And so then the third part of the apology is, how can I make it right? And the really cool thing about this, and what I didn't understand for a whole lot of years, is that person gets to decide how it's made right. I don't get to decide for them. So there's early amends that I talked about, like to grandma, I stole money from you, Graham. Here, I got the money back, Graham. I want to pay you back. I want to make it right. My grandma didn't want the money back. Me insisting on my grandma taking that money back did more hurt to her. That wasn't a way so that she got to decide how I made the amends to her. So that's part three. How can I make it right? Sometimes Graham just wants you to show up and cut the grass every Sunday. Right? And just be there for Sunday dinner, you know? Give her calls on holidays or whatever. And just love her and show up. You know, my grandma didn't want the money back. But it took a long time for me to understand that. So when I make my amends, it's important for me in my process. It was important and it still is important for me to like go through all three steps. I hurt you, I did this, it was my fault, how can I make it right? I was listening to, step 8 and 9 in It Works How and Why on the, what do you call it, like the radio or the podcast or whatever, you know, streaming it or whatever on the way up here. You know how like the websites or whatever will have like people reading the texties, you can listen to it. That's a good tool for people. I always help with sponsees who can't read, you know what I mean, or have a hard time reading. I'm like, listen to it, you know? But at any rate, I do that a lot in the car, like I listen to it. So I was listening to steps 8 and 9 and It Works How and Why. The Louisville region, their website has a lot of them. That's a really good website to go to. But, and I was struck by a message or, you know, something like a sentence or whatever that like really like jumped out at me in the car as I was driving up here is that the steps prepare us for a life of service. right? And obviously, so step 12, right? The culmination, the penultimate, right? Like, goal, right? To lead a life of service. But I started thinking about the process of 8 and 9. And for me, I think that the process of 8 and 9 was like the very first, like, formal. I mean, like, so, like, up until this point, I've been leading a life of service, right? I've been doing my living amends. I've been living right, you know, trying not to engage in crimes. You know what I mean? Not telling lies. You know what I mean? Not outwardly, like, trying to handle my resentments and my anger towards people appropriately so that I don't lash out and hurt them, you know? So I'm like, I'm living the steps. I'm applying spiritual principles. You know, I'm doing my best to be a good person and to live right, my living amends. But I think that for me, step 8 and 9 was like the very first, like, formal, if you will, act of service. Because at that point, it's like, I'm not just like going about my life, you know, living, like, serving, but I'm like doing a very specific task. I'm asking you, how can I make this right? You know, and so I don't know. That's just something that really struck me. So the thing about forgiving self, and the reason why, I think one of the reasons why I've had such a difficult time with me on the list, you know, I think that like earlier on, like, I paid lip service to it. Like, oh yeah, I'm on the list. Jeez, Meg, sorry for hurting you. Sorry for smoking so much crack. You shouldn't have done that. You know, sorry for banging dope. You know, like I paid lip service to it. But like, when I talk about like the real forgiveness and the real amends to be made to myself, I haven't been able to engage in that for the past 9 years. And here I am, wrote that list. Put me on it, and am I at a standstill? And I think that the answer also came to me in a way, or like part of the answer, or an inkling, or like a boulder hit me in the head in the car today. And it said, like, I was listening, and it works how and why. It said that there are going to be times, some of us, I'm paraphrasing, of course, right? So there's going to be times, or there's going to be some transgressions that we've engaged in, some wrongs that we've done that have caused irreparable harm to other humans, right? They've been maimed or hurt in such a way that, like, it really never can be made right. Goes on to say, like, some of us may have even, like, you know, been involved somehow in causing somebody's death, right? And how do you make amends for something like that? How do you like, you know what I mean, help make that right? There are going to be things, and it is some of our lots in life, it is some of our journeys that we will have to live the rest of our days not being able to. We'll never be able to hear the other person say, I love you, or I don't. Right? Or, you know, like, you know, F you, whatever, right? But we'll never be able to have a resolution. It will always be unknown. It'll always be out there up in the air. And at those times, the only salve for the soul, or the only remedy that we have, the only possible means of any kind of alleviation of that kind of remorse, is to rely on a higher power to soothe us in those moments. And for me, I can return to the insanity that the second step needs to address at any given moment, any given day. Even right now, I just had a nanosecond of it, pulled that self-disclosure. Right? Like, I literally had a flash of, you're unworthy, right? Like, no shit. So I have this really, really not humble at all belief at times that somehow I am like not other humans and I am unworthy, right? And I am not worthy of forgiveness. Well, ain't that some shit? Like every other human being on this green earth is worthy of forgiveness. Every single, all of you here are, and I know that with every fiber of my being, you all deserve that unconditional acceptance and forgiveness. But somehow I don't.
Sure you do.
Right? Crazy ass thinking. That's insane. That's an insane thought. I think that's the most insane thought that I've ever thought in my life. Right? And I've got a lot of diagnoses. Right? So, I have to really do some work on this, James. I really need to do some work. Right? This work with me. I'm worthy of that forgiveness. Just like you guys are. And I am in that situation that, like, you know, there are some things that, like, I really will never have a resolution to. And it weighs on me really, really heavily some days. A lot of days it's really good. I mean, I'm rooted in us, you guys. Like I'm involved. Like, I love you. You're everything to me. Right? Like, I treasure. You guys are my safe space. Right? You give me that unconditional love, right? And I'm involved with you. And on there are really good days. There's strings of really good days. There's strings of months where things are absolutely really, really good. And I'm at peace with myself, and my higher power is soothing my soul. And I do have some kind of an alleviation and some kind of a, you know, like resolution, if you will, to those unresolvable amends that are still out there. But there are others, you know, there are others. There are moments, there are hours, sometimes a few days strung in a row, right? Where I'm really not connected and I'm not in tune with my higher power, and it can get really bad. And I can start feeling really, really down on myself. Right? Back to that insanity that I'm unworthy, you know what I mean? That my sins are worse than any other human beings. Everybody else is worthy and I am not. And I think in a way, I've been in a lot of emotional crisis lately. And whenever I am in emotional crisis, because of like the stresses of life are really up here right now, right? So my emotions are like tested. That at those times in my life is where I tend to go there, right? But I was reminded today, like listening to that beautiful message in the car of like it works how and why, and listening to James share with us the power of self-forgiveness, you know. I don't know, I believe it's possible. And I've had glimpses of it. So I think that maybe, like, you know, my mother God, my higher power works in those ways. Like I hear you guys talk about all the time, like what you need is what you will get, you know, like the universe provides, and whatever message is needed, like you'll see it on the side of a milk truck, right? Or you'll open a magazine and boom, there it is, right? Or somebody calls you for some help, and in the process of helping them, what you're telling them are exact words that you need to hear for yourself, right? So I think that, I forget why I said that. I don't know, I said that because I needed to hear it, I guess. Yeah, so I mean, I guess it's just about, like, you know, I've been sitting on that list for over a year now, you know. And my excuse is, well, I've worked 8 and 9 before, several times. It's okay. I can sit on a step if I want to for a year and a half, you know? Well, sure, I can. Yeah, absolutely. And I'm still okay and worthy and all that, you know? But pain's kind of getting great enough, you know. And the higher power somehow knows that. And so then, don't you know, right? So the programming committee, Nikki calls me up. Oh, we want you to share, you know. We think 8 and 9 would be a really good topic for you. What the? Are you kidding me? Like, no, I'll sock you in the eye. Like, how dare you? Like, like, I don't want to share on 8 and 9. Right, but I'm called to serve, you know. Called to serve. And trying to do a good job of like balancing service with taking good care of myself, you know. I cannot hide in service. I felt that, James. Mm-hmm. I felt that. I understand that. I was talking to a friend recently about service-based recovery or recovery-based service and the difference between the two. And recovery-based service, you know, really, really deep, meaningful service, right? And service-based recovery is needed, and you know what I mean? Like, and I engaged in that for years and years, and I'm really glad that I did, you know? But I've been really meditating lately on, you know, caring for myself and saying no. And making sure that the service that I do is recovery based, you know. So I made the decision when Nikki called to said, hey, you know, 8 and 9 might be a good topic for you to see if maybe with some, you know, I couldn't engage in some recovery based service and say, yeah, I'll do that, you know. It's just about time for me to stop. I really don't know what else to say. I just know that I appreciate you all. I appreciate all of you. You know what I mean? And I'm indebted. My gratitude to Narcotics Anonymous. You know, the happiest obligation I've ever had. And I think that even more so than the obligation I have to my children. Right? And that's some shit. Coming to terms with that, but yeah, at any rate, thank you so much for allowing me to share and giving me the space. That's all.
Thanks, man.
You know, I
would like to thank Megan and James for sharing their experience, strengths, and hopes. Can we give them both another round of applause for sharing their message? Can we have just for today up here at the table podium?
Hi, everybody, I'm Matt and I'm an addict.
Hey, Matt.
Hi, Matt.
Just for today, tell yourself, my thoughts will be on my recovery, living and enjoying life without the use of drugs. Just for today, I'll have faith in someone in the day who believes me and wants to help me in my recovery. Just for today, I will have a program. I will try to follow it to the best of my ability. Just for today, through NA, I'll try to get a better perspective on life. Just for today, I'll be unafraid. My thoughts will be on my new associations, people who are not using, and found a new way of life. As long as I follow that way, I have nothing to fear.